I'm a little sad that you didn't change the music to reflect that.
Love Talk Radio.
How are you gonna just do me like this? I was a good boy.
And I've been wearing glasses. I've been wearing glasses for, I think, 4 years now. And now my face feels like completely naked without them. I'm always reaching up to adjust them even when they're not on. And I don't even like not having them on because, I mean, you know, even though I don't really have to read some stuff, I just like being able to see stuff. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, that's a little blurry, and it's not life-threatening, and, you know, it's not like I'm reading a pill bottle, but, you know, maybe I want to read the directions on the Rice-A-Roni.
Maybe. You know, if you want to be all uppity with that shit.
Right. Or you know, being able to see people who cut me off. I can see big objects, so I saw the car coming. But if I hadn't had my glasses off, I wouldn't have been able to see his face to flip him off. So there's that.
Right.
So that's an important use for my glasses, being able to clearly see the asshole I'm getting ready to cuss out.
Well, see, I can see while I'm driving, but, you know, the issue becomes while I'm driving, I get a text. And I know I'm not supposed to text and drive, but I get a text, and I want to just look to see if what it is. I can't put my glasses on because I put my glasses on. I can't see out the windshield. Everything looks like I'm running through a cloud. And then I can't see the text. And then
it's a mess. You know what? Texting is the downfall of all of us. Because the last few times I went to the doctor, the eye doctor, I held my phone up. You know how you have the little thing you look through so they can see what your prescription is going to be, the little circular glass thing that they flip? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I held my phone and my with text messages in front of that, and I had him adjust it so I could see my text messages.
He was like,
can you read the bottom line? I was like, no, but I can see my text messages. That's all that matters.
I'm saying bye.
Write it out.
Well, that's so funny because that's how I found out I needed glasses. I may have even told you this. I don't remember. because I thought my phone, I thought the protective cover on my phone was dirty. And I went and got that replaced. But it's still not any better. I guess it's time for a new phone. So I upgraded my phone. And I said, okay, let me get the cover put on it. And, you know, was that $50? Get the cover put on it. Like, shit.
Nope.
I must have to expand the font. So I got the font to the point that it can be read from space. And it's really blurry on the edges, though. Apple's new Retina display is some bullshit, Geraldo. This isn't that good.
Right. See, when I first
I run into a cousin of mine who works for an optometrist, and you know, we're talking, we're exchanging phone numbers, and she's like, why are you extending your arms out so far to put it in a text message?
Right. Right.
And I'm like, look at this damn phone. Look how blurry it is.
I just thought I was always tired. You know, my vision was always blurry. I was always rubbing my eyes and thinking, you know what, I'm just so tired, that's why I can't see. And then about a year later, I was like, I've been tired for a long time. Maybe it's time to get my eyes checked. And that's when I found out I needed glasses. And then this last time that I had to get a new prescription, which was a couple months ago, I had turned into like my grandmother. I was holding the phone way out, and then I was then I was pulling it way into my face like Helen Keller, you know, and then I would pull it way out and then bring it all the way back in. And then I had gone to the accessibility, and I had like the super large font, and my daughter was like, is that font big enough for you? I was like, you know, you're playing, but no.
Yeah.
She handed that to me, and I could see fine. And I was like, damn, I need new prescriptions. For real.
Oh, it's hard, man. It's old. It's getting old.
It is real hard. It is real hard. And you know what, though? I'm so glad that I have new glasses because I don't want to miss what's coming in December. You know what's happening in December?
Well, I know one thing for sure. It will be winter, but it won't be snowing in Maryland.
No. You know, I found out the news yesterday, and I couldn't breathe. I told you I couldn't breathe.
Oh, Lord. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, Lord. Oh.
Because my dream, my absolute dream, has come true.
Oh, Lord.
What is that dream, Yael? You share
oh,
that
Lord.
Dream with me.
Oh,
I
Lord.
Know that you have waited all your life, sis, just like I have.
She's going to tell us, America.
So, NBC, in their infinite wisdom, has decided that your next Christmas live musical special is going to be the win! Go!
Of the play, not the movie, the play.
But I love
no.
the play too. I saw the
no,
play.
No, it's
twice.
The play. It's not the movie. Your petition got the 5 signatures, and I want you to know I can get you 7. I now know 2 other people who love the movie.
I mean, 7 people. Well, but it doesn't matter to me because my petition was for the movie, but I'll take the play. They saw the petition. They're like, you know what? She has a good idea, but Barry Gordy is so difficult to work with, and there's going to be all kinds of shenanigans, so let's just do the play instead.
Yeah.
I'm trying to tell you.
You know what? I'm going to tell you something. I'll be honest with you, and you know, I'll let these chips fall where they may, though I have mixed feelings about admitting this to America. But I actually may watch that on television, on NBC, the remake of the play live on television.
Can we watch it together?
We most certainly can.
Yay! And I'll do like I do with the movie. I'll make up a bunch of fruit and meat and cheese trays and popcorn, and we'll just have this big old spread. Oh, I might even cook dinner. Oh my God! And can I sing it too? We'll sing it together.
Yeah, and then when it starts to really go bad, go south, are you gonna be upset if I put you on hold for the next 40 minutes?
Are you gonna change lyrics from "I wish I was home" to "I wish you were home"? Because I was coming out there to see it, not getting on the phone and watching it. I was gonna watch it in your living room.
Well, I still put you on hold. Go downstairs. You're like, damn, it's taking them a long time to make a sandwich.
Okay, so you know they're gonna cast Jennifer Hudson. She's got the pipe to do it. I think Zendaya. I think it's pronounced Zendaya. I think she's like a really cute Dorothy. And she can sing, but I don't know that she has J-Hub.
Yeah, but isn't J-Hub a little too old to play Dorothy for the play? I mean, give her 15 more years and she can play Dorothy.
Well, yeah, but you know what? She looks a lot younger than Diana Ross did for that play.
Right, that's what I said. If we wait 15 years or so, she could play Dorothy from the movie, The Wiz.
But Zendaya is 19 years old, maybe. They might go with Kiki Palmer because she still looks pretty young. Well, I mean, she is young. She's only like 20, 21. But I don't think she has the pipes. I really, really don't. She can sing. I've heard her sing. But can she sing Home?
What about The Wiz? Who's going to play The Wiz?
Well, you know who we picked for the movie.
Right.
So I haven't recast that. But you know what? I've been thinking about the Scarecrow, and I'm thinking that they might try and pull Chris Brown in.
Well, you can't have the Scarecrow trying to bang Dorothy in the eye.
Right. But you know, I mean, he can dance and he can sing, and he has acted before.
What about the kid from Hawaii?
What kid from Hawaii? Oh, Bruno Mars?
Yeah, Bruno Mars.
Well, the Scarecrow has always been kind of tall and lanky. Bruno Mars is 5'5".
And your point?
And Jennifer Hudson's like 5'10".
Don't height hate.
I'm
you
not
know the whole
hate,
the porn doesn't grow that high
to,
in Hawaii.
I'm just trying to stay true to the character.
Well then, how about Justin Timberlake? Or could he play the Tin Man?
Now that is some inspired casting because I hadn't thought about that. Yeah, I guess.
Wait a minute. The Scarecrow wanted a brain, right?
Yes, the Scarecrow wanted the brain, and the Tin Man wanted the heart. Now, the Cowardly Lion, that's just it. Like, singing-wise, because Ted Ross did the play and the movie, and he could sing. But I was thinking just visually, I was thinking Cedric the Entertainer, but I don't know if he can carry a note.
Yeah, I know he sang for Madagascar, but I don't know, you know. But I'm thinking if the Scarecrow has to be a certain height and wanted to brain, and it's December, right?
Yes.
And you know how that time of year certain people start doing certain things to get more exposure to the country. Maybe Ted Cruz could come and be the Scarecrow.
He will break my television screen.
Yeah, but he wants a brain.
The Scarecrow wants a brain, not looks.
Yeah, but Ted Cruz would be typecasting.
Nah, man. Oh, but you know what? Inspiration. Jamie Foxx could be the Wiz because since it's the play, they may go ahead and put in that song, Y'all Got It. Remember that song, Y'all Got It, which was in the play but not the movie? That's a little funky piece. Jamie Foxx could wear that little piece out.
Did
you see the play?
There's
like two songs that the Wiz has in the play that's not in the movie.
Yeah, God, and you know what? Since I haven't been as invested in this as you are, so I don't remember.
For like 35 years.
Well, I went to New York to see the play when I was in high school. I saw the movie.
I'm only 25. That was before I was invested in it before I was born.
Right, but you saw the Betamax tape of it, and you were excited about it, and it gave you 10 years more experience than you have life.
Right, exactly. That's what I'm talking about. And then I need Patti LaBelle to be Glinda. I really, really do.
But Patty's like 75 now. We can't have her. playing Glinda the Good Black Witch.
And then I don't know who is going to be, oh, my God, who's going to be, oh, God, what's her name? Not IPM, but the first witch who's running numbers. See? You know what? We can throw Queen Latifah in there because Queen Latifah can sing and she kind of can, you know, they put a wig on her. She can look like somebody's old NEM.
Yeah, I agree with you.
But you know what? Now that I'm thinking about it, they might even try and bring in Audra McDonald, the queen of Broadway.
That would be excellent.
To be Glinda. She wouldn't fit too much as Auntie M, but she would fit really good as Glinda. And she could wear that song out. See? I am all over this. I might be in a good mood all year. Nah. Nope.
No.
So, speaking of music,
the iHeartRadio award.
Every time Kello had something to say.
Okay, so, you know, entertainment isn't my industry. Entertainment is your purview, and I give you all the entertainment expertise, the entertainment background, and you're the one with your ear to the ground, everything Hollywood. But in New York, but please tell me something before we get into this story, because I have to know. When I know I sleep late sometimes, but when did iHeartRadio get an award show, and who has time to give a fuck? That's all I want to know.
You got me because I think that it came out. I think the first one was last year. I think this is the second annual one. And last year, I heard about it after the fact. And, you know, I saw that it was coming on, and I was like, I am not even watching this. And I don't even know what iHeartRadio is, just FYI. And then, next day, they were talking about, oh, you know, if you missed the Beyonce performance, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay. And then we rolled around this year, and I was like, do I even want to be bothered?
I love the Grammys. I can kind of watch some of the Tonys. I love the American Music Awards, and you know, I don't watch the CMAs, but the People's Choice Awards is cool. But I think I don't. iHeartRadio? How come iTunes doesn't have a radio show, an award show, but iHeartRadio does?
See, and that's just it. I have to look into the background of it, because it might be that iHeartRadio is, you know, the radio is the award show that takes in the numbers from Pandora and iTunes and this place and that place and kind of all puts them together in one spot, like Spotify or something. You know, so if it's like a show based on the new streaming media, then I think there's a place for it. But right now, I'm just like, I cannot do another show. I really, really cannot.
And if I could, if I had the bandwidth to do it, why would I do iHeartRadio over Pandora, over iTunes?
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, what if iHeartRadio serves as like a umbrella or conglomerate of all the different services, and this is their awards as opposed to an individual Spotify awards? I just don't know. They had a decent lineup last year. They had a decent lineup this year, so they got pulled from somewhere. Now, it could be a situation where the reason Beyonce shows up is because Jay-Z owns half of the fraud. I know. But, having Beyonce and Lady Gaga, that's a big coup for an inaugural show.
I put it this way, and then we can move into the real meat of this story. Because of this story, the iHeart Radio Award Show just jumped 6 points on the people who need to pay attention meter. Because if not for this story, half of us still wouldn't know nor care about the iHeart Radio.
How about I still don't care? I really was not offended by what he said, honestly.
Well, tell America, those who don't know what he said, and then I'll give you my opinion on what he said. Or Kenya. Maybe she can't. Let me tell you, in case Kamal got hit by the iHeart Radio Mafia.
Oh no, I'm here. I'm here. I thought you were gonna say what he said, because I don't remember the full thingy.
Okay, so Jamie Foxx delivered a monologue on the iHeart Radio show, and in the interest of full disclosure, since I didn't watch the show because I could not find a fuck to give, Jamie made a comment to the effect of, there are going to be some great performances tonight, including a male-female duet by Bruce Jenner. This
does not offend me at all.
I think it's hilarious.
I think it's hilarious too.
But it came close to, but did not, but it came close to breaking the internet. Because
I think
now,
it's freaking hilarious.
Today, it's so anti-politically, or it's politically incorrect to be anti-gay. And that's not an anti-gay statement to me.
That's not it's not an anti-anything statement. I mean, unless Bruce has finished completely transforming, technically, he is still physically both genders. He may be choosing to live his life as one over the other, but until he has his surgeries, he's technically both. I don't think it was mean-spirited, you know, I don't think it was homophobic, I don't think it was transgenderophobic. I think the problem was, it's, in some minds, it's a little too soon. And I think if he had said it about somebody else, it wouldn't have been nearly as funny. I mean, he could have said it about Chaz Bono, but it wouldn't have been funny because Chaz has left charity behind. He is living fully as a man, physically and mentally. He is a man.
Right.
But
Bruce
isn't quite there yet.
And I that being said, and that situation being what it is, it's still a funny joke. Regardless, right? Because it's a joke. And people like Perez Hilton can get up on, can get his ass up on his back, about this, but why? It's funny. If you don't think the Bruce Jenner situation is funny, in and of itself. Not that Bruce Jenner is transitioning, not that Bruce Jenner is having a sex change operation, but the whole melodramatic, over-the-top diva drama that is the Kardashians and the Jenners, and Bruce is going to have a sex change operation, and their whole lives are out in the public, and he's trying to keep this private, but it's like the worst known secret in Hollywood. If you can't make a joke about that, then come on. Get your panties out of a bunch.
I mean, like I said, it wasn't a malicious joke. You know, it's not one that I guess you can make the argument, but from the comedic standpoint, no joke the comedian makes is malicious, I guess. You know, you could say it from that perspective. But, I mean, he did not, in my opinion, cross any clear social mores and social norm lines. You know, he didn't make a joke about rape. He didn't make a joke about, you know, if he's going to be lesbian or gay or what. You know what I mean? He did not cross, he did not make a joke about any of the taboos that surround transitioning.
Right. So, you know, let's stop acting like, oh, it's such a shame. It's not a shame. It was a joke. It was a funny joke. And if Bruce Jenner didn't like it, then have a bowl of weed and shut the fuck up.
And there are worse jokes that I've heard about the situation that Bruce Jenner is in right now.
I'm going to tell you something.
Cross the line.
Had this been said at a roast for the Kardashians, everyone would be cracking up. I remember the Charlie Sheen roast when, what's his name? What's the comedian that's always doing the roast? His name just went out the side of my head. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, I know
you know
who
I'm talking about.
The guy who has kind of like an afro or puffy hair, not just afro. Is his name Greg?
Oh my goodness!
I can see him. I can see him in my head.
Yeah, same here. Same with me. But he said at the Charlie Sheen roast, you want to talk about poor taste? He said at the Charlie Sheen roast, the only reason Charlie Sheen is famous enough to have a roast is because God hates Michael J. Fox. I fell on the floor. That shit was the funniest, wrongest thing in the world to say. He said it. It was hilarious. And it's worse than what Jamie Foxx said about Bruce Jenner. But it was
those
said in a roast.
Are brutal. Lisa Lampanelli, oh my God, the stuff that comes out.
Oh my God.
Lisa Lampanelli is off the chain. I mean, to the point where sometimes I get a little uncomfortable.
Right. And Lisa Lampanelli is a true honey badger. She don't give a fuck. Jeff Ross. Right, Jeff Ross.
Yes, Jeff Ross. He's got the kind of floppy ears and the kooky hair and his nose is a little big. Jeff Ross, exactly.
Yes.
Sorry about that characterization of you, Jeff, but you have a mirror.
I just think it's a whole bunch to do about nothing.
Oh, I agree. But you know what? I think that part of the problem is Jamie Foxx's personality as well. He can be pretty arrogant and pretty obnoxious. And so I think that he gets a little more flack for some of the stuff he says and does than somebody who is more likable would. Or somebody whiter.
Right, right. Or someone who didn't look so much like the president. Just saying. Just saying. So in the continuing the intelligifying of America, or let me even go there. Let's talk about the ridiculousness of America. Here in the great state of Maryland, okay, so we all know now what NSA is and what NSA does. Well, if you all don't know what NSA does, don't feel bad because you're not supposed to know. But NSA, the National Security Agency.
You may not know what they do, but they certainly know what you do.
They certainly know what you do. Exactly. They certainly know what you do, when you did it, and who you did it with. And woe be to you if you're on your cell phone and you say, jihad, jihad, durka, durka, jihad. In the wrong context, they will have picked that up and you will be checked out. But we have here in Maryland the headquarters for NSA. And did you hear about this out there on the left coast, Kamal?
I heard about it briefly.
Two men.
It was some shenanigans.
Yeah, two guys. So I haven't read this yet, so this is all hearsay, per se, hearsay. Two men stole an SUV, and in a drunken state of we are Americans and we're stupid, they tried to crash the gates of the NSA headquarters compound. Now, the backstory I'm hearing today, and I have to confirm this, is the guy they stole the SUV from had met these two and thought they were women because they were dressed as women and tried to pick them up and go back to their hotel room with this, with, you know, I guess to party and have a real party. They beat him up, jacked his ride after they got drunk, all got drunk together, and then drove down the road trying to go I don't know where. But they took the wrong exit and ended up crashing into the gates of NSA. Now, one of these idiots is dead. The other one is shot up pretty bad. I'm still trying to figure out how this could be called a shootout, because evidently these two did not have guns and they weren't shooting back. But
they picked the wrong gate.
Okay, so did we not learn anything from the lady in D.C. year before last, the black woman who tried to drive her car close to the White House entrance?
Yeah, that was a hit and a half.
There are a lot of government agencies that you can accidentally crash your car into the gates of and end up being locked up but not wrapped up. CIA, FBI, NSA are not the initials you want to do that with. You really are asking for a toe tag. Now,
and
you know the layout of
that they were
things
drunk,
in Seattle.
That's a PSA for don't drink and drive right there.
Yeah, yeah. I know the layout of how things are. I know the layout of getting up to NSA from firsthand experience, having done some work there, and that's all I can say about that. And that was prior to 9/11. After 9/11, if you make, I don't care how drunk you are or whatever, when you realize you're on that road, you need to stop, get out, lay on the ground, face down, hands up, before someone comes and says anything to you, let alone keep driving as they're shooting at you. So
it's a cautionary tale on so many levels.
Several levels with several different reasons. So many reasons. But you can't. So who? I don't even know where to begin, and I know we don't have the time to go into all the different levels of this, but come on, man. Let me just say this. When you're driving the road to the entrance to NSA, and in all fairness, the entrance is off of a major thoroughfare. But when you make that turn, you actually... You pretty much come off the exit ramp right onto the property. You know what I'm saying? So any entrance ramp off of a highway, you know, when you leave a highway and get on the entrance ramp, you should be doing what? You should be decelerating, right? If you're so drunk and whatever that you're accelerating on an entrance ramp, you're already butt naked wrong. When you, for the NSA entrance, when you come off of that ramp, there is a big sign that says, "You do not belong. If you do not belong here, stop and turn around, take this exit now." And then, boom, you're right there, NSA. You have no ambiguity, like, "Oh, I wonder what road I'm on." You know what road you're on. When they hit that gate, they were already done. They were already going to get
shot. But you know what? That highlights an issue, because what if they weren't drunk and they were lost tourists at night?
Lost tourists at night. You can read that sign. It's an illuminated sign. It's big. And again, if you're just lost tourist and you come up on that ramp, if you're decelerating like you should, you realize where you are, you can slow down, stop, and take the road to get you back onto the main road. You come up there fast, you either have ill intent or you're drunk and stupid. And again, the highway was built over 50 years ago. NSA's been there well over 50 years. They can't move it back, and they can't change. I guess maybe nowadays they could change the ramp, but it's clear. When you come up there, you should know, uh-oh. You know, you have more room to maneuver if you come up on a toll. It says, you know, toll up ahead. You got more room to know what's going on with a toll than you do for NSA. When you come up that ramp, you are on NSA employee entrance. Go no further unless you want to have some hot lead for your breakfast cereal. That's all I got to say about that.
Damn shame.
One thing's for sure, they won't do it again. I know they won't do it again.
they can't.
Real quick, don't know if everyone's aware that Bo Bergdahl, how much time did we devote to Bo Bergdahl's story last year? Did we do a whole show on Bo Bergdahl, or did we spend at least a half hour on Bo Bergdahl last year?
We talked about him a couple times.
Yeah. So, how many Americans, I'm using my quote fingers, how many Americans who were down at Clive and Bundy's ranch and who wore their, I forgot what ribbon, was it the yellow ribbon for Bo Bergdahl? How many of you all, us, are now wondering, maybe we moved too soon on the whole We Support Bo Bergdahl thing. Bo Bergdahl was charged this week with desertion. He has come back to America in trouble. The true story of why Bo Bergdahl was captured by the enemy is about to come out. It's kind of a sad situation, my opinion.
Well, I mean, that is, it opens up so many different issues with the service. I mean, this isn't Vietnam where you're forced to participate.
Right.
He voluntarily signed up, and he had to stick to that commitment. Now, it says quite a bit that the only way to get out of your commitment is to desert. Or, trying to get a dishonorable discharge. And, you know, there's all kinds of talk about people who are on their third, fourth tours who want to leave, but they can't. They have to wait until their time is up. You know, it brings up the question of why we're really where we were. You know, he might have been at some point, look, I didn't sign up for this shit here. But there does need to be an out. I mean, you and I, if we can quit our job, we won't. There's no real recourse other than we won't get unemployment. But we do have to put them to come on. You know, stop, come out. Those kids do that. But you also know that.
Hello.
I'm here.
You broke up and faded out on us.
Oh, I said that, you know, if you and I want to quit our job, we can. The only real recourse we have is that we won't be able to get unemployment. Now, if you join the military, you know that going in, but there still has to be some room for somebody who says, you know, but this is really not what I signed up for. How do I get out of this mess?
Who that?
And I guess the answer is, well, you can desert. You can pretend to be crazy.
Wearing a dress won't help you anymore.
No, we figured that one out. Thing.
Right.
Right. So what does one do when they decided that they are tired of, you know, doing tours and being sent into harm's way? Maybe they should reduce the amount of time to sign up for. Because there's stuff that I could put up with for a year, but not four.
Well, I tell you this much. If you walk away from your post while serving in country, you should leave a note so that no one tries to rescue you and people die in the effort.
That's true.
Because a whole bunch of people died in the effort trying to find him and save him. Bad luck. Bad luck. And the president went out of his way to make sure we got him back. Justice will be done. But the boy in trouble, he's going to spend time in a stockade soon. If not already, I don't know if they arrested him yet or not.
Yeah, I think he's been peeling potatoes for a minute.
Yeah.
mean, you know, speaking of wanting to get out of situations, I mean, we finally know. Last week we didn't know everything about the airplane crash, but now we know it was on purpose.
Oh, I didn't want to go there because, you know, I'm still believing that some Asian pilot had something to do with it. But yeah, we gotta say it. It really is the man. All indications, if you can believe what's been reported, all indications this I'm gonna kill myself and everybody behind me gotta go too.
And the thing that has me concerned about the situation is that on American run flights, United States, not the American Airlines, there is a safeguard put in place. When one of the crew leaves the cockpit, a stewardess will go in, or are they still called stewardess? Flight attendants. A flight attendant will go in and provide a barrier. That's not required for our flights to and from other countries. So the question is, if they had followed our protocol, would they have been able to survive it? And I don't think that's the protocol that I think should be changed. I don't think that they should change the type of doors or whatever, because that protocol works when you're trying to keep somebody from getting in.
Right.
And that protocol should stay put. But they really need to start thinking about having, you know, a third party in there so this doesn't happen again.
You're absolutely right. And you know, just the entire idea that the pilot can leave the cockpit bothers me.
Right.
After 9/11.
Why don't we have a bathroom inside the cockpit?
Thank you. That's, if not a bathroom, how about a tube? Plug it up, pee it in. Astronauts can do it. Pilots can do it, too. I don't want to see the pilot after I get on the plane. I don't. Until we land, I don't want that door opened at all.
Right. Let me apologize.
And now we know why.
Right. Sorry about the noise. It's raining cats and dogs right now. But, I mean, what if it wasn't something that was happening intentionally? What if there was some type of mechanical failure and the pilot got taken a dip?
Well, I just know this. I'm not flying out of the country anytime soon, and I don't want to be on a plane that's coming from out of the country going anywhere in the country anytime soon.
Oh, I completely agree. It's going to be a long time before I go somewhere that I can't drive to. Can I drive to Maryland? Yes, I can. Well, then I will take the plane. Can I drive to France? I'm putting my ass at home.
I'm going to France on a boat. If I'm gonna go to France, it's gonna be in a boat. I ain't flying over all that water.
I ain't looking forward to no onion sandwiches.
Not be onion sandwiches for me because I know how to pack some non-perishable food. Well, I will say this. To your point, when the zombie apocalypse happens, I'm going to be on a boat in the middle of the ocean.
I'm not. I ain't got nowhere. You ain't got nowhere to run. Hell no. Unless you are a boat by yourself.
But they don't swim. They swim in the boat. They don't swim. They can't get you.
That's if you make it out. It would be in the middle of the sea. Mm-mm.
But they got to be bitten to become infected. And if you get on the boat with people who aren't infected, they can't get you.
But what's going to happen is somebody's going to have a heart attack over the stress, and they're going to turn into a zombie once they die.
Then they got to go overboard.
There'll be some idiot locked up in their room, and when they do a one where passengers are, and they open up the door, boom, that's all she wrote.
Well, let me make sure we're clear. I'm not going to be on a luxury liner full of 350 or more people. It's going to be me, some friends, and my family, probably about 30 people. When we get down to 12 people, then people are going to learn to keep their heart attacks to themselves.
Yeah, how much does a water desalinization kit cost?
I'm not sure.
I'm telling you, the place you need to be when the zombie apocalypse hits is Washington. And I don't say that just because I live here. But as much rain as we get, all we have is water, plenty of fishing and hunting. Yep. I'll get my RV and the mountain.
So let me ask you something in the last minute we got on the show. Other than the Jackson family, what is good that came out of Indiana?
Occasionally the Pacers.
I mean, the Ku Klux Klan got restarted there. Now you got this stupid-ass law that was signed there. Do we need to go back to Indiana?
Nope, especially not when there's a zombie apocalypse.
Now, yeah, and that's landlocked, so you know I'm not going to be there.
And then his press conference this morning was such bullshit. The media has distorted what we're trying to say. So we haven't really been able to get the message out because of the
We need to take this up again when we got more time, because for real, this issue is going to be going on for a week. I guarantee, promise you. I promise he you. Michael Jackson moonwalked in the Motown special. Governor Pence is moonwalking on this law. Just as hard as the boys from Indiana. Well there, woman. We're going to talk about this a bit later.
Yeah, and I'll have my cat for the wiz all ready for next week.
Yeah, and we're going to follow this one. I'm just glad it's not Mama, I Want to Sing being redone or Beauty Shop.
Here I go. So I'm back up in